Welcome to the Video Games in Mind podcast. Today, I actually have two guests with me. They are both my personal friends that I've met throughout life. I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Will. I used to work with Jordan, like, years and years ago, and then actually lived with him for a while. Let's see. My real name's Will. Online, I go by Wickscoop72. Sometimes I just go by Wick. And favorite game, I'm going to say League of Legends, because we actually did a pretty fantastic ARAM earlier today. This was my first time playing in over a year, and I've missed it. I've missed that feeling of being able to just grab friends and just jump into a game together. It's fantastic.
Hey, I'm Richard. I usually go by the nickname Corey. That's K-O-R-I. And I don't particularly have a favorite game.
If you don't have a favorite game, you typically just play the most recent game that you've been playing the most.
What is the most recent game? I'm guessing if we're not counting mobile, it'd be Shadowbringers.
Shadowbringers?
Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
I've dumped quite a bit of time into that.
So can we count mobile games? Because I know he's been on Shadowverse a lot.
I actually haven't been on Shadowverse a lot. I go log on for like the daily pack, but...
So what would be the other game that you...
I haven't actually played a lot of stuff lately.
So Shadowverse. Or no, not Shadowverse.
Shadowverse. New expansion is pretty hot.
Okay. So, today, we're going to talk about the signs of a true video game fan. I know we had some pre-talk about this, and then we were like, well, we better stop so we can talk about it on the podcast. But with that being said, I wanted to explain the format real quick. We typically do... 1 hour, and then we try to ask us, typically have preset questions, but as you can tell, we are in Los Angeles, where we're attending Anime Expo, and we're doing this on the fly, because I don't know what I'm going to get both of you here again, so this is very off the cuff, but with that being said, we're going to talk about the signs of a true video game fan.
Fuck it, we're doing it live.
That's literally what's happening here. But, did you have something to say? You look like you did.
The main thing I was going to throw out is the fact that, like, we actually had to cut off the conversation because we almost accidentally had the entire conversation. Because the topic itself, and I'm going to jump straight into this, right?
Oh, okay, go.
The topic itself is incredibly vague and already goes with, what is it? It's the Scotsman fallacy, I think it is.
Okay.
It's the thing that's, like, decades ago, might even be as old as, like, a century, there was this saying that started going around that was, like, no real Scotsman would ever do, like, such and such thing, right? And it was the fallacy, there was the logical fallacy that you could say, like, oh, well, everyone that falls into this category, that is an entirely made-up category, does X thing, right? And so, like, what was the exact topic?
The signs of a true video game fan.
Yes, signs of a true video game fan. Right. And that alone means, like, if you don't do these things, you can't be called a fan. And
it's right.
Like,
yeah.
And there's that, like, sense of elitism and stuff that, like, is just almost automatically implied with that. And this alone, almost, like, I brought this up because I was trying to, like, narrow down what was this discussion going to be about. And he actually had to stop me and go, no, like, this is actually really good. That's the whole point of why I brought this up. So I've actually been sitting on this for a while. You've been prepared. No.
Maybe the better question, if we're trying to like take the more literal thing of what we're trying to ask, for like things that you would expect a gamer to do, and I think like there's quite a bit of things that are kind of like stereotypical, but with every stereotype there are ounces of truth to them. So, like, maybe, like, we should ask, like, what are things, like, when you imagine a gamer would, like, actually do or have?
So, like, one of the... And I'm going to bring this up because E3 was just happened only a couple weeks back.
Right.
Okay. A month ago? Yeah, a month ago at this point. So, one of the interesting things is that you look at, like, hey, you would expect a true gamer to be hyped about E3, or at least it's on their radar.
Right.
Right? Like, they don't necessarily have to be hyped about it. They might be one of those people that's like, yeah, I keep my expectations manageable. I don't buy in for all the hype. And it's like, okay, cool. But you at least know and understand what E3 is, and you keep tabs on it.
Right.
Right? But then at the same time, you've also got the, like, the family man that's like, he plays games on a regular basis, but he doesn't actively track what's new and coming out. Especially if it's something along the lines of, I go home and I can play with my kids for 30 minutes before, you know, after they get done with their homework and before they go to bed, and that's really the only time I get to play, or you get like Pogo, for example. Sorry, Pokemon Go.
right.
I'm just going to permanently refer to that as Pogo, so suck it up.
Duly noted.
Also, question. Am I, like, addressing the viewers, or are we kind of just having a local conversation?
We are having a conversation amongst ourselves. We will let viewers talk, and then, you know, in which case you would be addressing the mic. But more often than not, you're explaining, to like, logical reasoning with me as to the question.
Right. Okay, so the main thing is you have, like, Pogo, right?
Right.
And you have people that have been playing Pogo for years now. And it's one of these things that's, like, it's everywhere, right? And I would say that, yeah, someone that consistently is like, oh, yeah, I sit in my office and I've got a Pokespot literally across the street from my office and I sit here and just catch Magikarps all day, right? Like, that person's a gamer, right? They're not nearly on, like, the same level of gaming as, like, any of us.
Right.
But I wouldn't also throw them under the bus as saying, like, oh, you're not a true gamer. You aren't there for Halo. You aren't there for Pokemon. Well, you are now, but...
It's not the same.
You weren't there for the core series of Pokemon. Like, you're only a casual gamer.
I think I can kind of play devil's advocate to this, too. Not very much just, like, for the purpose of playing devil's advocate, for the sake of trying to define something, right? And I think we've gotten to the point where video games have gotten to the accessibility to where, like, the everyman can enjoy, like, a video game, right? But if... One is to define being a video game fan. I think it's very accurate to say, like, you are a video game enthusiast.
Okay.
So, you are interested in video games, right? It's not something you just do in passing. It's the same thing of a difference between, like, the average person who just watches, like, an episode of Game of Thrones once in a while, and somebody who is a Game of Thrones fan, right? So, okay. There's that extra layer to where, like, you are interested in, like, reading the books. You are interested in, like, getting, like memorabilia or, like a banner of your, like, favorite house or whatever.
Okay. And I would actually even go a step further. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to say, I'm like, even beyond just being interested, I would almost even say being invested. Like, especially, like, emotionally invested. Like, yeah, if someone that's just like, yeah, Game of Thrones is super popular. So, like, yeah, I just watch from time to time, but, like, I don't... And, like... It's one thing to just be like, yeah, I'm interested. It's another to be like, no, like, I like this character, right? Like, I want to see what happens. And, like, the everyman, and, like, I kind of agree with you to that extent that, like, yes, there is a certain layer that's very obvious that you are a fan. But then there's, like, other, more subtle layers that's, like, at what point do we exactly say... You're no longer a fan.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's that extra step where if one is to say somebody is an enthusiast or something, or like maybe like a connoisseur, they have like an intellectual investment in it. Whereas a fan is somebody who has a more passionate, emotional investment into the thing. Another like example of this would be like if you're gambling, right? Like to call somebody an actual like gambler would probably like imply that they do so on a very regular basis. Maybe they live in Las Vegas where they have easy accessibility to like casinos. Exactly.
Right.
And so they come and like put $10-$20 in the slot machine like on a regular day.
Right.
That would be somebody that I consider a gambler. If like you or me happen to just walk by like a slot machine and we put in $5 for fun, I would not consider us like an actual gambler. We are gambling,
right.
But we are not gamblers. Right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I think with that precedent, like, we have, like, a really solid foundation to, like, try to go off of. So it would be somebody who has an emotional investment in video games.
Okay.
Right? Maybe not all the video games, right? But, like, some amount of video games.
So I just want to just, like, clarify. We are then stating that an emotional investment is essentially a requirement in order to have the signs to show.
I would say yes. If this is... Not stemming from elitism, but just to try to define something, right?
Okay. Right.
Like,
yeah,
you have to be this thing in order for you to be this thing.
Yeah, this is not necessarily just say, oh, we are better because we are fans or something like that.
Right.
But it is very much just defining the actual term of what it means to be a true fan is, yes, you do need emotional investment in that area.
Right. Which I find... kind of interesting and almost ironic in a way, because in that case I don't think I would be considered a video game fan.
Actually, So, you jumped the gun. I was going to ask this question a little earlier. Because, like, you know, you specifically said, you know, having an emotional attachment or emotional, like, you know, something to it, right? But I was just like, well, I mean, how much emotional actually, like, you know, somebody could be a collectible and, like, you know, they just collect it because it's, like, cool for them. But it's not, like, an emotional attachment. If they were to lose the collection, depending on the person, you could probably say that, like, oh, well, hey, I lost the collection. Gotta start up and do it again. And then there's a person's like, oh my goodness, I just lost my collection. But is there actually a difference between those people in terms of being, like, a true fan of a collector?
So, I'm going to stray away from the discussion of a collector because that's actually an entirely different mindset. Like, a collector is someone that could legitimately just be like, I'll collect anything. Like, you tell me there's a set of things, right? And they're the people that just jump from set to set to set. But, like, I do get the question that you're asking about, okay. Right? And the thing that
if you do understand, then what am I actually getting out from doing that, then?
So, what you're getting at is that say, for example, you were to lose, like, the entire game, or, like, your save data or something. Like, how emotionally distraught do you have to be to be considered a fan?
Okay. You as long as you understand my question, I got nothing to say. Go for it.
Anyways, so, the thing, obviously there's varying degrees of that.
Right.
But, like, it's not, like, something that's super, super clear-cut, but I would say if we go at, like, the broadest strokes, right?
Right.
You have the, if I lose my save data, I'll just play a different game.
Okay.
Right? You have the, I lose my save data, I will literally just go do anything else.
Okay.
Right? And you have, if I lose my save data, I might, like, snap the game in half kind of just pure rage, and then go buy it again because I'm that invested and I'm going to come back and do it again anyways, but damn it, I'm pissed.
Right?
And, like, there's so many varying degrees of, like, how emotionally invested somebody is, but I would effectively say is it someone that could walk away from it and think that they aren't losing anything? Like, that there's at just the broadest level, like, if someone is just like, yeah, I could take it or leave it,
mm-hmm.
I would say they're not emotionally invested.
Right, but so then my question then would be, like, but does that actually show that that's not a sign of a true video game fan? I'm just wondering
no, because that's a bit of an edge case, the whole, like, losing your save data kind of question.
Okay.
But it's effectively, how emotionally attached are you to it? And if there kind of is no attachment to it, right? And I know that we're also talking about, like, one individual game. I've had one, like, individual games, I'm like, you could literally set this disc on fire and I would not care.
Okay.
All right? What was it called? Amazing Island, I think it was?
I don't even know the game.
Adventure
Damn.
Island? Maybe. It was bad.
Okay.
The only reason I bought it, all right, the box described it as, like, Pokemon cross Mario Party, but you, like, made your own creature or some BS,
okay.
And the minigames were awful, and I'm going way off topic.
Yes, please.
My point being, you could have, like, all right, legitimately, right?
Right.
I've never, ever, ever in my life sold a game back to GameStop.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I was absolutely willing to do it with this game. This game, like, and I know that this is just, you know, me harshing on, like, oh, this one game was just that bad, right? But it's like, that's kind of the point that I'm making, is that, like, with one single title, you can't obviously gauge someone's investment to gaming.
Well,
and I think that kind of might bridge to another topic entirely, is that I would imagine that a true gaming fan is someone that celebrates gaming as a form of entertainment and not as a singular game.
Okay.
Someone that only plays one exclusive game could be a diehard fan for that one title, but I would not argue that they're a gaming fan.
Okay.
They're not someone that's invested in the industry itself. They don't want to see other games succeed. They're not looking at what cool things could we do to build on this.
Okay.
It's just, hey, I want to play this because I've put too many hours into this waifu gacha game, and I can't put it down.
I think this might be, like, a little bit controversial, but I think, like, you can make it, like, a subcategory for this for, like, many sports game fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if... Well, I think a lot of people that are very invested in, like, Madden or FIFA...
Right.
...are generally more so sports fans that happen to want to play the video game sport. And less so they're playing the game because it is, like, a video game.
So,
and I think the market very much knows this, right? Which is why, like Madden and, like, you know, like, NBA 2K games come out, like, the way they do, right? There's not too much difference in terms of gameplay. It's usually just upgraded spectacle and upgraded, like, an updated roster.
Right.
And so that's, like, a very particular type of thing. And they very much are still playing video games, but I would not say, like, they have, like, a huge emotional investment in the video games, although they might have, like, a huge investment in, like, the roster themselves. But they're very much, like, passionate fans of the sport of basketball or football or whatever the relative, like, sport at hand is.
Okay, so, I mean, so from what it sounds like, is it so it, we are considering them fans, however, it's, like, a separate category?
They are fans of the sport.
Are they fans of the sport?
That they are the sport of. Not necessarily that they're a fan of a video game.
I think this is especially more true as you have, like, if somebody says, say, plays almost exclusively, like, NBA 2K,
right?
I would say that, yeah, like, okay, cool, you play this one franchise, cool, like, I hope you enjoy it, but, like, this is not someone that actively wants to see the next Mario game do something big and interesting, or the next whatever team-based shooter that comes out, you know, do something weird and crazy.
Right.
They're just, hey, is the next year going to have such and such player because their contract ended at a weird date? And, like, they know some really weird and interesting things about their very specific genre.
Right.
But it might not even go outside of, like, it might not even encompass that entire genre because we just have sports as just one massive umbrella. And I do imagine that a decent number of players just jump back and forth between different sports titles, but not... But, like, I also imagine that there's a significantly greater number of people that just stick to this one game, or, okay, or this one sport. They might bounce around to different titles within that sport.
So, just to make sure that I'm understanding is that, so people that strictly play sports titles for video games, we wouldn't consider them to be true video game fans, because it is not, like, a proactive approach to the industry.
Sure, and I think this might start getting a little bit blurry here, but I think you can go beyond just, like, sports, right? Because there might be people that only particularly touch this one gacha game. They don't ever play any other video game, right? Mm-hmm. They actually only ever got into a video game, right? Because, like, let's just say, like, they're just really into this Japanese gacha game.
Right.
And so that would be somebody that I won't necessarily consider to be, a person that celebrates video games as much as just gacha, right? But the reason why this is starting to get kind of blurry is you can usually get people on board with the whole sports argument, but, like, there are also people that only play, like, one MMO, right? They never stray away from the MMOs. Like, back in the day, it was, like, WoW, RuneScape. Now they could be, like, people that only ever play 14 and have zero interest in any other video in any other video game. I would have to categorize that as you might be just a fan of this particular thing over being a fan of gaming.
Okay.
Right? Because, like, as Will said, like, to be a fan of gaming is to be a fan or have emotional investment in the, like, in the interactive medium that is playing video games, right? Okay. And so I think you have to have some sort of... That just naturally leads to a broad horizon. Okay. And I kind of want to stress this, is you playing multiple video games is not what makes you a video game fan. It's you happening to like gaming is what leads you into playing multiple video games. So it is the... Like, one is the cause and the other one is, like, the actual, like...
Effect.
Like, yeah, the effect. So those are, like, two very separate things. It's you like video games is why you play many video games. It's not necessarily you play many video games is why you like video games.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I can actually really, I'm kind of for that, but what were you going to say?
I was just saying, like, one of the interesting caveats that this brings up, and people are probably, like, raving mad about it if they are sitting here, like, but I play sports games literally all day. That's all I do is sit and play video games. And, like, and, you know, the MMOers and the same thing. And it's like, yeah, we're not telling you guys, like, you're not true fans. It's just, you might not be true fans of what you thought you were a true fan of. Like, you enjoy this very particular thing, and cool, good on you. But, like, it is weird to tell someone that, like, could be playing MMOs for 18 hours a day
mm-hmm.
that they're not a gaming fan. And, like...
I mean, I think that does sound rather harsh, but at the same time, something Corey said something early in the podcast was like, but is it the truth? Like... And like that's what we're here to find out is like what is the truth about saying that here are the signs of a true video game fan. So with that being said, then so like what is it then that like or we just consider them sports video game fans or is that like still not quite?
I think like I consider myself like kind of like in a stage like under a video game fan because like a lot of things like we've discussed tonight that. You count as like being a fan of video games. I've started realizing that I've kind of started like straying away from as I've gotten older. I don't necessarily like dislike like the games that are coming out. It's just that none of them kind of piqued my curiosity. And I discovered that was like the kind of original reason why I like play video games and why I do anything in general is like I have like the sense of curiosity and I don't feel like a lot of video games nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ask you an interesting question, or, like, kind of put you in an interesting scenario, right? Okay. Like, there are very tried and proven formulas, and the reason why you might, like, kind of see a lot of video games as the same is that's just the things that people like. Okay. So, like, a lot of people, like, kind of bash on, like, these game developers and studios for kind of, like, rehashing the same things over and over again, but, okay. like... There's a reason why the staples are the staples, right? People, like, just, human beings just like certain things.
Okay.
Like, that's why, like, the hero's journey is such, like, a staple format for, like, trying to tell you a story. So, like, you got, like, your adventure games that kind of play, like, really similarly where you have, like, you can compare Uncharted with, like, Tomb Raider,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, although, like, those games might have, like, varying mechanics, the story might be different, like, at the end of the day, they are adventure games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they are, mm-hmm. you are an adventurer going on an adventure, like, wild adventure.
Right.
I think even to a, like, further degree, you look at, like, first-person shooters, and a lot of them kind of have to have a lot of very, like, samey mechanics because they know they're appealing to a very specific and intentional audience. And I know there's, like, differences between them, right? But it's things like, hey, I expect wherever my cursor to be, like, where I'm going to shoot. Like, these are the button mappings that everybody, like, is just accustomed to using. Like, this trigger is fire, this trigger is, you know, secondary fire, grenades, explosives, whatever. Right? And it's like, all right, this, like, you usually have, like, this is jump, this is, like, this is how you sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm largely talking about mechanics, or, like, just controls, right? But even in terms of actual mechanics, it's something very similar. It's like, all right, well, do we have a cover-based shooter? Cool. Do we have, like, a fast-paced shooter? Do we have, like, a slow and tactical shooter? And it's like, you have a ton of differing branches, but each of them all feel, like, each of them... Just at first glance, will all look very, very similar.
Right.
Even though they might feel very different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't know, it is one of those things that's like, if you explore it long enough, you kind of run into a point where you're like, oh, I've kind of done most of the shooter mechanics. Right? And then we eventually got something like Portal that came along and was like, but Portal. What if you take a shooter and make it a puzzle game? And suddenly the game changed, right?
Dude. Yes, yes, yes.
And right. It's not to say that people are uncreative, right? Like, right. We still have new titles that come out that are like, I never thought of that. That's an interesting gameplay, right?
I'd say Splatoon pretty much mixed things up in the shooter genre quite well.
Splatoon is legitimately one of my favorite shooters, and I don't care for shooters all that much. But it feels so very good to play. Like, in every possible way, this is one of those games that's like, this took the shooter genre and just gave it, like, the patented Nintendo formula. Like, we are going to do something absolutely bonkers. This wasn't even... Because it's not even like, oh, they just took two genres that normally don't mix and, like, flipped them together.
Right.
They straight up invented a new mechanic. Like, what other game in existence... has said, like, yeah, if you miss, that gives you ground coverage in which you are stronger. Like, no other game has ever done that. Like, no. It's a simple mechanic.
It is very.
But, like, has any other game ever just straight... I know that we've always had games that say, like, oh, this is my territory.
Right.
Like, oh, I can establish, this is my zone. Or even, like, StarCraft, I think it's the Zerg, have this, like...
Thing that, like, the creep.
Yeah, you have the creep that spreads out. That's like, cool, like, this is my zone, right?
Right.
But, like, Splatoon is one of the few things that intentionally warps all of that into a single mechanic. You can shoot.
Right.
It, like, at its absolute heart, it's still a shooter.
Right.
And there's nothing, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is just a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it is a wildly different shooter.
Right. So, I guess, like, not to say that we are sidetracking, because I do enjoy the conversation, but, like, two things I want to point out real quick.
Okay.
Actually, I do have another podcast plan in terms of regards to, like, why we choose certain buttons to go where. Like, you know, triggers typically on our R2 or, right, bumper trigger or whatever the hell it may be, right? But at the same time, like, you know, but then, you know, Persona, when I first played it, I was like, shooting is X. I'm like, huh? Like, this is the first time it ever happened. And anyways, I just wanted to point out that that podcast is But point being, though, the second part of...
Look forward to that chat.
the other thing I want to point out is that, like, so, in terms of, like, you know, we're talking about video games being not necessarily uncreative, but being same. Yet, I'm wondering... I mean, I have some assumptions as to how it correlates to the signs of a true video game fan. But what would that essentially say? Like, you come up to somebody and, like, you know, they're talking about Zelda. Right? And they just, like, they just know Zelda games.
Right.
But then, you know, somebody points out, like, oh yeah, I'm, like, you know, split, like, you know, there's all these things in FPS, but then, you know, did you hear about Splatoon? Where instead of doing all this, they, like, now create groundwork based on, like, what, when you miss and whatnot. Is, like, would that be, like, oh, this guy has something, or this girl, or, you know, whatever. But is that, like, towards, like, if you were to hear that in a conversation, would you say, like, yeah, you're probably more of a true video game fan?
So, I'm going to kind of take point on this one, and I think largely what it comes down to is, and this is going to be, like, a really, really, like, harsh if you want to consider yourself a true gaming fan, right,
okay.
Like, to the bone, unquestionable,
right,
and this is not saying, like, this is the bar. This is just saying that this is an absolutely unquestionable thing, is if at any point it was displayed to you, hey, this other game does the same thing better,
mm-hmm.
or is just does more things that are just generally considered more enjoyable, that if you as a player say, that game is actually better, would you ditch a franchise that you had played exclusively? So, for example, right,
okay.
Say you've played Call of Duty, and that's literally the only thing you've played growing up.
Right.
And you find out that Splatoon comes along, and you're like, actually, that looks, like, really fun. Right?
Right.
And like, that's probably going to require, like, a straight-up console shift, if we're being honest. Like,
right.
I severely doubt people are out there playing Call of Duty on the Wii. All right? Oh, I'm sorry, Wii U was what Splatoon first came out on. So it's like, obviously, yeah, there's a monetary investment in that, right? But let's assume that that person doesn't have to buy a console,
okay.
Right? And they're looking at, hey, do I get the latest Call of Duty, or do I get Splatoon, right? Like, let's just assume they have the ability to say, I have a console available, but I can only afford one new title. And I've only ever played Call of Duty, right? And there's that safe and secure, which is like, I'm not saying it's wrong, to say, like, oh yeah, I'm just going to stick with what I know,
right?
But if at the same time you've looked into Splatoon, you're like, this game looks really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it actually just, like, scratches that itch really, really nicely. But if you still decide you don't want to play it just because it's not, like, you just don't like change or whatever, that's one of those points I have to say, like, you're not a true fan. Like, even if you have actively acknowledged this is just a healthier, better game, again, not necessarily saying it is, not bringing up that conversation right now,
okay.
that's a whole other rabbit hole, but this is if you, you know, I play X thing, and I have decided that Y thing is just obviously better,
mm-hmm.
but still continue playing X, then that is extremely unhealthy.
Okay.
Like, specifically for the industry, right? But on top of that, like, you can't contribute to any conversations about that title. Like, all you could ever do is just listen to other people say, yeah, it's actually really fun.
Right.
And, like,
right.
You don't really have a whole lot of input there.
Okay.
I think this is actually kind of, like, a particularly niche point. Like, not to match you down
or anything,
but I think that's, like, an incredibly niche point. Because I think that chip might be a little bit extreme to, call realistic, right?
But that was also kind of my point, is if it's, like, Call of Duty or Battlefield, which are usually a little bit more, like, button heads with each other.
Right. I think those are a little bit too similar. I think a very good example would be, I can see people that really enjoy Call of Duty, like, the aspects that you might enjoy is, like, it's a faster-paced shooter, mm-hmm. right, where the individual matters more than in more grand Battlefield games, specifically Battlefield, right? And so I could see you potentially swapping over to, or, like, consider swapping over to something like Overwatch or, like, Apex, where you still have, like, the individual, like, person matters, and it right. is still, like, fast-paced, if not a little bit more faster-paced. And if you were to deny yourself, like, wanting to try that game, I can see reasonable things to where, like, you might not like abilities in your games, right? I think you would start refining your taste is what, like, would be more precise, right?
Okay.
You would start finding out what it is about Call of Duty that you value so much and, like, why... Like, even though, like, that might be a better game, you start, like, missing certain aspects of it. So, for example, you might just be really into, like, realistic military shooters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, the next logical step, right, is then you start going to play armor.
Oh, right.
So, in this specific scenario, right, I think you... It starts getting into the blurry ground of, like, whether we start considering you into gaming or you're just into military sims. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily either thing, but that might be what you discover, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you might, like, go and, like, maybe try Arma because it's, like, similar enough. You start really, really liking it, and you start realizing, no, I just really like the military experience, the real hardcore military experience. And that is what I'm into. And so you discover that you might not be super into, like, just video games. You just like Call of Duty because it was kind of similar to a military sim.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you have any questions for me, my guests, or anything about the podcast, really, go ahead and tweet at me at Versidax, VercidaX, and I'll answer all your questions there. Drink lots.